Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless our time here together looking into His Word. I'd like to begin in the book of Deuteronomy. I'd like to consider something of the deep things, the mysteries of God that I'm learning more of every day. I'd like to consider that which is concealed or revealed. Deuteronomy, the 29th chapter. At the end of this chapter, the verse says in the 29th verse, "The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." I want to consider what the Lord has given unto mankind and something of the nature of who God is. I am so thankful that we don't serve a God that was made by our own hands. We don't serve a God that is subject unto us, or that is like unto us, whose power is no greater than our own, whose knowledge and understanding is no more than our own. But we serve a God who is not on the same plane as we are. In our humanity and our finite understanding and knowledge and abilities, our God is not constrained by all those limitations. Our God knows no bounds. He knows no constraints. No, He constrains Himself. Our God cannot lie. Our God will not override our will and our ability to choose by His own choice. But He is a God who, again, knows no bounds. He's not bound by the law, His own laws of nature and physics. We see that over and over throughout the Bible. He is a God who the elements of nature are at His command. Whenever He gives the word, the earth will stand still in the course of its rotation. It'll stop. And the sun will stand still in the sky if our God speaks the word. What a mighty God we serve. Whenever we try to figure out God from the prism of what we understand, when we try to limit and bring God down to the little bitty box of our understanding, folks, we'll never understand who God is. We'll never be able to confine Him or see much at all of who God is within the bounds of our limitations. Well, for example, if I consult my Bible and my science book side by side. You know, you don't have to just forsake science to believe in God. Not at all. Science, falsely so called, omits God. But God is a God of science. He is the author of science. But you know, whenever I try to apply, when I try to define God by the finite elements of physics and of the nature that He created, you can't confine Him that way. How am I going to confine God with what I understand of the laws of gravity? You know what the laws of gravity do to an ocean? It makes it all at sea level. It makes it all at the same level. Water will level out to the same level. That's what the laws of gravity say in physics. And I understand that. It's easy to see it. It's all I've known. But you know, God is not defined or limited by that. All He has to do is speak the word. "Moses, stretch out your rod." And the waters defy gravity and physics and stand up in a heap on either side. How are you going to define that? Well, if I can't define it, then it wasn't so. Do you know how pompous that is? Do you know how limited, and I don't want to sound condescending, but do you know how small-minded it would be of me to say that? We've got to realize just how finite and small I really am. Whenever Moses tried to have something that he could give the children of Israel in Egypt, Lord, when they ask, who is this God, what do I tell him? I am that I am. I'm not defined by what you know and what you see around you and what you've experienced. How are you going to define who God is? Even in prophecy and symbolism of Scripture, you really can't use symbolism to define God. He is. He exists. I am that I am, he said. Well, he said here, as unto a nation that was starting to learn about this great I am, that he was trying to reveal himself unto through his law, through the manifestations of his power over the tabernacle and in the mount, when they could see that and they could see the thunders and the lightnings and all of that. You know, that was something that they were able to see for themselves with their eyes, that they were able to hear a voice, that they were able to see things happening. But you know, there was a whole lot that was concealed from them. There was a whole lot that they weren't able to see and discern and understand of what was going on. God revealed himself in a measure unto them. To the degree that he could, he revealed himself unto them. But there was much that was concealed from them. And Paul talked about it to the Corinthians. There's a veil over their hearts and over their minds that they to this day aren't able to, with open face, behold the glory of God. He said here, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. You know, there are things that belong unto God, and there are things that belong unto us. And what I want the Lord to help us to be reminded of and get a hold of today is, Lord, help us to understand the difference. Lord, help us to know those things that belong to you alone. What are such things? You know, Jesus told us what one of them was. No man knoweth what? Not even the Son of God knoweth the day nor the hour. There have been a lot of people, a lot of self-proclaimed prophets that have risen up over the years and say, it's been revealed unto me. I've searched out the Scriptures. I've searched out the manuscripts. I've searched out writings of these people and those people. And it says, on such and such date will the end of time come. And over that time has come and it has gone. You know, that's one of those things that belongs unto God. He has given something unto us, though. He has revealed unto us who will discern and see the signs of the times, that it is getting near. It's drawing close, so that we might be able to act upon it, that we might be able to, Lord, help us to be ready. Help us to be up and doing about our Master's business. But he has concealed the day and the hour and the time. You know why? We don't need to know that. It's not given to our realm. Lord, help me to be able to explain it right. There are some things that I just don't need to know. You know, that's hard for me to get my mind around. Well, Lord, why would you not reveal something unto me? You know, there are just some things I don't need to know. And there are some things that I'm going to have to be willing to commit unto God and say, Lord, if I never understand, if I never know the answer to this, then Lord, I'll still go on and serve you in everything that I do know and understand. For there are some things that belong unto God alone. In this world, oh, how little I think sometimes we as mankind can really understand and see. How do you, I've heard, I think Brother Marty explain it this way. How do you explain to someone who's blind what the blue sky looks like? If they've never seen, how are you going to explain to them in a way they can understand the color of the sky? And how can God explain unto us what heaven is really like? You know, there are some things that aren't given unto us. There are some things that just aren't revealed unto us. But there are some things that are revealed, that are given unto us. You know what the Lord is going to reveal unto us? Everything we need to be able to make heaven our home. Everything that He sees in His infinite wisdom, in His omniscience, everything that He sees and knows. They need this. He'll reveal that unto us. But there will be those things that belong unto God alone. There has been an appeal from the beginning of time to be able to know it all. It's some of what the serpent appealed unto Eve with. Perhaps we could think of it as the pride of life. Has God said unto you, you shall not eat of the tree? Now, do you understand that, Eve? Does that make sense unto you? Well, and I'm adding maybe some color to it that isn't detailed to us. But you know, it's the way the enemy comes to us. Well, why has God said that? Well, why has God required that of you? Well, I can't say I really understand it. I can't say that, well, let me tell you why. He knows that if you eat of this fruit, that you will become as wise as gods, knowing all things. And there was an enticement unto Eve. There was an appeal unto her. I don't want there to be things that I don't know, that I don't understand. And there's a way like that that the enemy still tries to work with people today. I've got to see it for myself. I've got to be able to touch it and feel it and explain it. And if I can't, then it can't be so. It must not be so. Humanism has prospered down throughout the years, exalting mankind's understanding and intellect, saying this is the epitome of it all. This is the pinnacle, our understanding. I thank the Lord that my understanding isn't as high as you can get. Because there is so much that I don't understand and know. But to know that we serve an all-seeing, all-knowing God. Isaiah, the 55th chapter, there's a familiar thought here. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There is such a disparity between the level on which I think and the level on which God thinks. They can't be compared. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my ways are so much higher than your ways. We can get to thinking and the mindset sometimes that what I see, what I understand, is all there is. And people live like that. Folks, there is much more that I can't see than what I can see. But there is one who inhabits eternity. There is one who was from the beginning, from before the beginning, that is today, and that will forever be. And that today inhabits eternity. He is today already and tomorrow. And my mind starts to not know how to wrap itself around that. But that's the God that we serve. He knows what's in tomorrow, and He knows perfectly what is in the past. And He understands entirely what is today. How much do we forget? You know, studies have shown, and usually heard this in the context of classes or business training and things like that. And I don't remember the numbers from the studies, but they've said it's something, just a very small percentage of what people hear and learn that they'll actually retain. And I can relate to that. There's a whole lot that's happened even in my relatively short life that I've forgotten. I don't remember the details. Pull out a date and ask me, September 7th, 1991, what was I doing? I have no idea. But you know, God does not forget. The only thing God forgets is what? Our sins and our iniquities that have been cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Then he doesn't remember those. But there is nothing that he forgets, that he's deficient in his memory and in his thoughts towards us. He's not deficient. He's not limited. He doesn't have a limited, what is a random access memory? You can measure how much RAM a computer has. The Lord is unlimited in his memory, in his knowledge, in his understanding. He doesn't have to go way back and try to draw something and little memory tricks and tie a ribbon around his finger. He knows already. He knows perfectly. He knows the beginning from the end of a thing. And he knows what will be. He inhabits eternity. Whenever I think about, well, my own perspective, but I think about a little ant that's weaving his way through the grass and climbing over little stubble and around little rocks. And I think about what that ant's perspective is. Can he even see where he's going? Does he realize that he's in a large yard? Does he know that he's in a forest in the state of Ohio? His understanding is so limited. And yet the Lord told us to go to him. There's some things that we can learn from the ant. So what does this say about us? Sometimes our perspective is so limited. Sometimes we are so short-sighted that I can't hardly look beyond this pain I feel right now. I can't hardly look beyond this current trouble, this little rock that's right before me. And the God that inhabits eternity is looking down over it all, and he sees the beginning from the end of it all. Oh, my child, don't give up. Don't be discouraged. You can't see what's right on the other side of that. But he helped Job's faith to rise up enough to say, nevertheless, when I have tried, I shall come forth as gold. I believe it. I don't see it yet. I don't feel it yet. But I know this God that I believed in. I'm not going to curse him and die. He knows what he's doing. His way is best. I don't know what's going on here. Lord, do you think Job didn't have some questions? Why? Lord, why? Absolutely he did, because we can read about him. Chapter after chapter. I don't understand this. I don't know why this is going on. Oh, I rue the day that I was born. I don't know. And yet somehow through it all, he didn't abandon completely his faith in God. He said, he knoweth the way that I take. He knows my way. Folks, God knows our way. He knows where we're at today. Our perspective may be so limited. I can't see right around this little thing that I'm dealing with right now. But I'm going to tell you, this God that inhabits eternity, that sees all the way back from the beginning and all the way out into eternity, he has a much different perspective on what I'm going through now. And I think it's why Paul said, these light afflictions, he got a glimpse of something. He got a glimpse of something. He lifted up his eyes. The Lord gave him a glimpse into a different realm through faith. He said, these light afflictions that are but for a moment, they work in us a far greater, a far more exceeding weight of glory. So we don't look on those things that we see. We don't walk by sight, but by faith. His ways are higher. He is the Alpha and Omega. Oh, Isaiah, the 46th chapter. I'd like to get this as well. Isaiah 46 and the 9th verse. Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Oh, what a God. What a God that sees the beginning from the end. What a God who can stand at the beginning of a thing and say, let me tell you what it's going to be in the end of the thing. Let me tell you, let me prophesy unto you. Oh, what we believe in our faith stands. Not on the strength of man's wisdom and intellect. Not in the ability of someone that has a PhD on the end of their name. Our faith stands in the wisdom of God. Our faith stands on the strength of prophecy. You look at what we're celebrating, especially at this time of year. The birth of Christ was foretold and prophesied thousands of years before it happened. Who can do a thing like that? Only our God who inhabits eternity, who sees the beginning from the end. And He knows what's in our future. Let's look in the book of Daniel. Oh, may the Lord inspire our faith today to remember what a mighty God we serve. Daniel 2. We're no doubt familiar with and remember the context of this when King Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon had a dream that troubled him greatly and he couldn't remember it. You ever wake up and you can't remember the dream? Most of the time I go on about my business with a little more thought to it, but not Nebuchadnezzar. There was something about this dream. There was something that tore at him. There was something that tormented him that I've got to know what this was. And he called the best. He called the most qualified. He called the strongest resume people. The ones who ought to be able to tell all these dark mysteries and things that I don't understand. They would look into the sky and in their astrology they would predict the future and they would do all these kind of things. He called on them. They were helpless. They couldn't do a thing. Well, King, tell us what your dream is. And, well, sure, we'll interpret it for you. Well, that's the problem. I don't know the dream. What was it they said? Well, King, no man can do this. Were they wrong? No. No man can do such a thing. But let's read the 17th verse. Daniel went to his house. After he had called Daniel and told him the dream, he made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. Blessed be our God. He changeth the times and the season. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Well, thank the Lord we don't have to walk in darkness. You know, there are things far beyond my line of sight, far beyond my field of vision, that I'm not able to look into, that I'm not able to peer into and fully comprehend. It's not been given unto me. You know, He reveals the deep and the secret things when He sees they're needed. He is the God that is able to reveal those things, and unto Daniel He did just that. Verse 27, when King Nebuchadnezzar called Daniel back in and said, are you able? Are you able to tell me the dream? Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these." And he began to tell and reveal to him with certainty what that dream meant. "Oh, king, it's not to men. It's not in our abilities. But there is a God in heaven that reveals the secret things. And he is able to reveal unto us what he sees we need." 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. You know, I think even with Daniel, there was a place that the Lord said, enough. There were some things, even in the prophecies that the Lord gave to Daniel and similarly to John, that the Lord withheld. Withheld from their understanding and to an extent, and withheld from them writing those things. Because, as I'm able to tell from Scripture, the things that were about to be revealed were so clearly detailing when the end of time would come that he said this needs to remain a secret. This isn't to be revealed at this time. There are things, again, that belong unto God and things that belong unto us. 1 Corinthians 2 in the 6th verse. "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." It's not going to be in our abilities. What man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. You know, there are things that the Lord wants to reveal to us. There are things the Lord can reveal to us. There are things that belong to us that I might not yet have tapped into, that the Lord wants to reveal to us by humble and diligent inquiry of His Word. And by His Spirit, Lord, reveal yourself unto me in a greater way. You know the Lord wants to do that. The Scripture says, we see through a glass darkly, but then we're going to see face to face. There are limitations to what I'm able to see. But you know, I believe the Lord wants to help us be able to see clearer and clearer unto the perfect day. A little more and a little more that's revealed unto me. Until that day when suddenly there's no blinders anymore, there's no obscurity. Everything is clear and open before me. The song says, further along, I'll know more about it. Further along, I'll understand why. There may be and there are things today that I don't understand. You ever found yourself in a place where you... we're asking the question, Lord, why? Lord, why me? Lord, I'm trying to serve you. I'm trying to do the best that I know. Lord, why did you allow this? Lord, I asked you for this and you gave me that. What's the song we've heard sung? Lord, I asked for healing, but you sent pain. I asked for sunshine and you sent the rain. Lord, why? I don't understand this, Lord. And the enemy is there to try to paint pictures of who God is and who God isn't, and try to limit and restrict Him in our minds. But oh, may the Lord help us to say as a song, I still trust you, Lord. I still trust you. Whether I see, whether I understand or not, I'm going to have to realize that there are some things that are not given unto me to understand, and that I'm going to have to commit unto the Lord, that I may never understand in this life. And I have to go on and say, Lord, that belongs to you, and I'm going to leave that in your lap. But that which the Lord wants to reveal to us, oh Lord, help us to seek for it like the pearl that's hid in the field. And the Lord's able to reveal unto us the hidden things of God. That which is revealed, the scripture we started with in Deuteronomy, that which is revealed unto us belongs unto us. And to our children forever. You know, the Lord will reveal enough of Himself for us to be able to have the faith we need to get through this life. And not only us, but to our children and our grandchildren as well. So when we may be tempted to become discouraged looking at the darkness of the world around us and the bleakness of the future before us in this world, folks, God is able to reveal Himself to our children and our grandchildren just like He has unto us and our parents and our forefathers before us. It is given unto us to know who God is, to be able to see God with these spiritual eyes, to be able to have an understanding of His truths. It is given unto us, revealed unto us and to our children forever. But I've got to put in for it. Think about what Jesus said in John 15 and 15. He said, I have called you friends. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. You know, again, there are things the Lord wants to reveal to us as His people. Lord, help us to be like the sons of Issachar we read in the Bible. They had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. Lord, reveal unto us everything that You want to reveal. Lord, give me the discernment and the understanding that I need to have for my day and my time. And yet through it all, I'm going to have to realize, Lord, there are some things that belong to You. And there are some things that belong to me. I'm going to seek the Lord for wisdom and understanding and discernment, and yet be willing, when the Lord withholds from my understanding some answers and some things, to be able to commit it to the Lord and say, Lord, that belongs to You, while yet seeking the Lord for understanding of that which is revealed. The Lord sent angels down in Abraham's time, and they came, visited with him, and said in the 18th chapter of Genesis, as they were going to spy out Sodom and Gomorrah, he said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I shall do? And it began to open up and reveal and make known some things. Lord, help us to be friends of God. Lord, help us to be sons of Abraham. Strong in faith, believing in God, that the Lord can entrust to us truths, understanding that He sees are needful, and that I might be able to... What are these things given for? What was it given unto Daniel for? That he might be able to strut in before the king and say, oh, king, lift me up, exalt me, king, to the highest places of Your realm. No, He came in humility. It's not me. It's not unto, but it's our God that reveals secrets. These things are not given unto us for our own glory, but that we might be able to carry a burden for souls. So if the Lord shows you something about somebody else, it doesn't necessarily and likely doesn't mean that I'm supposed to pick up the phone and call and tell everybody that I know what I see about that individual. You know, if the Lord shows you something about me, oh, take it to the Lord in prayer. Seek the Lord. Lord, reveal it unto me. And if the Lord shows you to bring it to me, then you bring it to me, and the time will be right. But you see what I mean about those things that are revealed? You know, it's so much easier, though, to see other people than it is to see ourselves. I believe and am convinced the Lord's first interest is to reveal me to myself. And once the Lord can begin to reveal me to myself, then there will be some other things that the Lord wants to reveal. But He's going to have to be able to trust me with it. That which is revealed. Well, I want to go back to Job for a bit, thinking about what Job went through. Perhaps we can all relate in some manner to what Job experienced, maybe not to the same extent. But it seemed like the Lord's impressed to me as I've sought Him, Lord, what do you want the takeaway of this to be? What action do you want us to take from this? You know, there's a peace that comes with being able to distinguish between those things that belong to God and those things that belong unto me. Being able to commit those things that belong unto Him, to God. Job 38, and we read here, as Job had been struggling and questioning, Lord, what's this all about, Lord? Lord, why is all of this? The Lord came and revealed Himself unto Job, began to speak to him. The Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare it, if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? Or who hath laid the cornerstone thereof? Job, I'm asking you now, give me some answers if you have it. Job, if you have the understanding, if you feel like that you're on par with me and your understanding and your knowledge, I may never say that in my mind or with my mouth, but if I'm not careful, I can go about in my attitudes, in my the way I think about things, as if I am entitled to have all the answers, as if the Lord has to answer to me for why He does what He does. Lord, why did you take them? Lord, why did you take my loved one? Lord, why did you not heal that individual? Lord, why are you not healing more than you are today? I believe those are fair things to seek the Lord, because there may be some things He wants to reveal about myself. But then the Lord, as if to say, Job, it's my turn now. You stand up and answer like a man now. And I'm going to ask you some of these things that I created and that I did. Job, where were you when I did all of this? 40, and the Lord kept going. The 38th chapter, the 39th chapter, the 40th chapter. The Lord answered Job and said, Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. What does the song say of God's way is best? Had I the choosing of my pathway, if the Lord answered to me, if He was at my command, Lord, I want sunshine now. Lord, I want health now. Lord, this is the way I want things to work out now. In blindness, I would go astray. God's way is best. Let him answer. Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. Why shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. He had his perspective changed, didn't he? Whenever he got another glimpse of who God was and how limited he was. Oh, Lord. Lord, I'm sorry. Folks, the Lord knows those things that we struggle with. The Lord knows when I don't have the answers. Lord, I don't know why I'm going through this in my life. I don't know why you've permitted this and this and this. I don't know why it seems like you're not answering prayer. Folks, do not give up on God. Don't turn your back on the Almighty. Folks, trust in the Lord. His ways are right. To be able to acknowledge that, Lord, I put my hand in my mouth. Lord, I'll be careful with what I say. I don't want to charge you foolishly, God. You know what you're doing. Your ways are best. Your ways are right. If I can't see it, if I can't feel it, it's what faith is. Lord, I know. Faith isn't needed if you can see it. And then it's sight. We're not going to need faith in heaven. You know that? Because we'll see it. For ourselves. There will be no question. There will be no doubt. It'll be revealed. But because not everything is revealed unto us, because there are those things that are concealed from us, we need faith. I remember when I started out with the Lord, and when the Lord sanctified me and He began to call me into a work for Him. And I remember seeking Him, Lord, I need to know where You want me to be. Lord, I need to know what this calling looks like. And people would ask me, what's the Lord called you unto? And I understood at that time, He's calling me to preach His word. No, I don't mean that. Is He calling you to be an evangelist? Is He calling you to be a pastor? And I remember laboring under that for a while. I don't understand, Lord. I need to know where You're taking me here. And the Lord withheld it. There have been times that I saw the Lord, Lord, I need an answer of what You want me to do here. Lord, I need, and I'm going to fast and pray and seek You. Lord, reveal it by dream, reveal it by an angel. I know You can do it. And I fast and I pray and I seek the Lord day after day. And no answer. Folks, what do you do with that? I'm going to tell you, I had to battle with some depression and some discouragement. Lord, I don't know why You're not answering me. Lord, I'm doing everything that I know to do. Lord, I believe this is Your will. I need You to reveal it unto me. And there was silence. Do you know, whenever there's silence, don't be discouraged. There's a song that says, silence may be the answer. And you know, I've been able to see as I've gotten further along and look back and say, Lord, thank You that You didn't show me at that time. Thank You that I see now why You were withholding that from me. And He showed me at one point as I was seeking the Lord, child, if I showed you the end, you'd be trying to make it happen yourself. And I had to say, yes, Lord. Lord, I'll take it a step at a time. When You reveal the next step, it's been revealed to me. Maybe nothing else has been revealed. The rest has been concealed. But Lord, what I see, I'll step out in. And then the Lord began to reveal the next step to me. And I began to step out into that. Folks, this is a walk of faith. We don't walk by sight. We walk by faith, knowing that God is right, knowing that His ways are right. So don't expect that He's going to open up to you all your future before you. Lord, I want to know what my job's going to be, who my spouse is going to be. I want to know what's going to happen. You know, it is in God's infinite wisdom that He conceals some things from us. You know how discouraging and overwhelming it could be if 10 years ago the Lord had revealed unto your understanding everything that would happen in those next 10 years. You're going to face this. You're going to be rejected here. This individual's going to die. That one's going to... Whoa! Lord! Folks, the Lord knows how much we can handle. He knows how much we can take. He knows what's needful to us. And it is in His mercy and infinite wisdom that He conceals from us those things that He sees. I don't yet need that. I don't yet need to know what that is. So let's trust in the Lord. Let's close in Psalms, the 131st chapter. Psalms 131 in the first verse. Lord, my heart is not haughty, neither mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. What is this saying? Just don't even seek the Lord. Just don't even seek to understand the deep things of God. No. No, but it is recognizing, as we've been talking about, those things, Lord, that I realize that's too high for me. Lord, that's not given to me. There's some things I don't understand. People ask deep theological questions sometimes that I don't have the answers to. Is it okay to not have the answer sometimes? People will ask, well, explain this detail of where evil came from and where sin came, where the devil came from and where this and where that. And sometimes I just, whoa, I don't know all the answers. There's some things that I do feel like I have some understanding. Some things I don't believe, but there's some things that I have to say, Lord, you're the one that was there. Lord, that's given unto you. I don't exercise myself in things that are too high for me, in things that are given unto me. But I am going to exercise myself in those things that God has revealed of Himself, of His Word, of His will for my life. Lord, I'm going to exercise myself unto godliness. Those are those things that the Lord wants us to exercise ourselves in. To be willing to commit our way unto the Lord, knowing that He knows best. He knows the beginning from the end. Let us trust in the Lord. You pray for me. Amen.